I grew up asking questions. Oh, Jason, great to see you. Jason's first Sunday since his retirement last Thursday from the police department, 23 years. Thank you for your service, son. Appreciate that. Thank you for coming to church. Appreciate that. Do you remember growing up asking questions? Now, my mother was not one that cared too much about giving you the answer you were looking for when you would ask questions. For me, it was when I would say why, it was because I said so. That's why. Remember that one? But questions will come. You remember the one, are we there yet? Got the kids in the car. Are we there yet? Shut up, kid. Remember all those questions? Well, God encourages us to ask questions. God warns us about our attitude in the asking of the question. Now, when people say, well, can I ask God why? Sure. But let me say this to you. You make sure you're asking why with the right attitude. Don't be getting cocky with God. Don't be going up and thinking you're going to point your finger at God and straighten him out. God wants the questions, but he wants you in the right attitude when you ask that question. Now, not all times are we in that right attitude. We get angry. God realizes that we get angry. Jesus understands anger. We are told to be angry but sin not. To be angry but sin not. God will always let us know that it is important for each and every one of us to deal with our anger properly. God says, I love you. We're going to be looking at the scripture this morning, dealing with the big question, why? Why? How many times have you asked that to God? Why, Lord? Why did this have to happen? Why did a child have to perish? Why did this situation come about within our life? Why? And God will look at your attitude in asking. Do you ask in unbelief? Have we tried God with unbelief? I know that God wants the best for me, the best for you. I know that. I know that God is focusing on what is going on in your life and how he can better help you in life. So God looks at us and God says, I want you to pay attention to me. God said, I want you to look straight at me, and as you look at me, I am going to give you answers. God has the answer for you. Are you ready to receive that answer? Why would the God of the universe even take time out to answer me? Let's stand and read why together, if we would. Together, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessings be upon the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Why? Well, God's nation had sinned against God again, time and time again. And which direction did they go? Always into idolatry. The sin is always idolatry. The sin in dealing with idolatry focuses on the life that you live in the front of God as to what you're worshiping or who you're worshiping. Most of the time it's what are you worshiping? But the only worship should be in the who? Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Son of the living God. God came for you and me to have life and to have it more abundantly. He comes and he said, I give to you. Every idol that you will ever find in your life will always take from you. How can you tell what's important in your life? See where you spend most of your time. See where you spend your money. You want to know what's important? Is God important enough for you in your life to even ask him the question, why? He has an answer for us, every one of us. And the answer for you and the answer for me is as individual as we are. You see, the answer he'll give me on the why, maybe for the same question, will be different from the answer he'll give you. Because we are individualists. We are children of his. And none of us are the same. The problems in your life, no one else will have. Oh, they'll be similar, but nothing like exactly what you're dealing with. So God expects to hear the why from us. The answer so often in our lives is this: the fault lies in the sin we committed. Israel, once again, goes off a whoring into the world. And as they go off a whoring into the world, they start worshiping the idols of the world. Many will worship the world itself, the world order. They will worship a political party. That makes me sick. They will find something to worship, and there's only one personality that deserves worship. That is God, revealed to us as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You heard it this morning when I baptized Dina. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we don't like God's answer. We just don't like God's answer a lot of times. And we don't like when we are told that we're doing something wrong. How many really love to be corrected? There's a time and a place for correction. But correcting hurts, because that means then I must focus on the idea I was wrong. I needed correcting. I did something wrong. We don't like that. Israel had sinned against God. And they were turned over to the enemy of God himself. And God turned him over for a short period of time. And then God hears the cry of his children. They had been ran off into the mountainside. They were in caves again. They were trying to hide their food from the Amorites. They were trying to hide their food from all the other Zites that were out there, the enemies of God. But they would come in, they would raid, they would slaughter, they would rape, they would do all vile things. Terrorism was rampant. And the children of God cried out to God, Father, they're slaughtering your children. And God heard the cry. So the angel of the Lord comes down and Judges 6, verse 12, here's what it says. He comes down to a young man by the name of Gideon. Now, Gideon was of the tribe of Manasseh, which is the smallest tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he was the least, as he says himself, the least his family was in the tribe, and he was the least in his family. So who does God send an angel to talk to? The least, who is going to confound the wise. And the angel of the Lord comes down at the threshing floor, and he says this: when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And here Gideon is on the threshing floor. Angel comes down. Gideon did work as hard as he can. And the angel says to him, mighty warrior. In the old English, he says, a mighty man of valor. Woo! A man of valor. And I can pick Gideon. Who are you talking to? Because Gideon did not see himself thusly. And the angel said, I'm talking to you, Gideon. Because God has sent me to have you deliver his children again. Story after story in the scripture sees where God's delivering his children. What got them in the mess? The why? It was always idolatry. It was always sin with the world. It was always doing something that's going to harm themselves. And God said, I don't want you harmed. As he comes down, Gideon's question was this. Why me? Remember Moses saying that? Why me? As a matter of fact, you'll remember every strong prophet, follower of God, always asked, why me? Surely there's somebody else. Folks, you are that somebody else. You are that someone. You are that individual that can make a difference in someone else's life. So the question goes out, why? Judges 6, 13, 14. And Gideon sort of throws in a little, this is why I'm shaky about this. If the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Then the Lord turned to him and said, now listen to this. Go with the strength you have. Now Gideon, you don't need to do any bodybuilding. Gideon, you don't need to change anything except your attitude. Look to me. Go with the strength you have, just like you are. Whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can, just like you are. And rescue Israel from the Midianites. Then he says, I am sending you. Old English, is it not I who sends you? I'm sending you. Go. Not in your own power. You will look at yourself and you'll say, I'm not worthy. Okay, granted. Get over it. I don't know anybody in here that's worthy. I do not know one living human being walking in flesh today that's not a hypocrite. So get over it. Sure, you're hypocritical. Did you ever tell your child, don't do something that you yourself have done? Isn't that a little hypocritical? We all are. Do I not tell every Sunday, don't sin, don't do this? Do I sin? Yes. Well, preacher, you shouldn't have said that. Well, I said it to God. You all aren't looking so hot either. You see, that's the human race. That's the human condition. And he comes to Gideon and said, Gideon, okay, here's what I want you to do. You go deliver. You know that story, Gideon does. I love it with Gideon. Oh, you know, he knows that the army that he's getting ready to go up against, he can't count them. He said, it's so bad, I can't even count their camels. And he had 30,000 men in his army. And God said, Gideon, you got too many. Really? Lord, I can't even count their camels. Anyway, he ends up with 300. God approves of 300 dedicated men that were ready to stand in combat. They needed to be ready to stand because you know what God told them to do? You come here and you stand there. How are we going to whip them, Lord? You ain't going to whip them. You are not powerful enough to whip Satan. You hear me, Christian? You come to a point that God leads you and you stand there and you watch God do the deliverance. Only God delivers.
Amen.
He sent His Son for deliverance. You cannot supersede the power of Christ, even if you think you can. You're not that good. Why, Lord? Then there was Job. God said about Job, He said, Satan, he's a righteous man. Job's done no evil in my sight. Woo! Righteous. He only wants to do what I've told him to do. And then we see Job lose all he has, lose his whole family. And we know that his wife comes out and says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he says, "Well, you speak as a foolish woman." Translation on that would be, or as a lost person. You speak as a non-believer, a foolish woman. Does not God give us good, and do we not receive bad also? Isn't there good going on in your life, Christian? Is there not evil also that's attacking you? And in all this, the Scripture says, Job brought no false accusation against God. He did not sin by blaming God for the situation he was in. And if anybody had a right to say it, it would have been Job, because God Himself declared Job is pure. And then that pureness came out because Job set out in sackcloth and ashes in a fire pit, gone out with a piece of clay pot because he had balls from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet in total pain, scraping himself to get any relief at all. And there he sat. But he didn't sit alone. God was truly with him. Job 3:11 and verse 16. Now I want you to listen to Job here. Job is angry with himself. He never brought a railing accusation against God, but he's in depression now. Well, you sit down in where a fire used to be, in the ashes, with balls all over your body. You might get a tad depressed on that, don't you think? Job 3:11 and 16. Why did I not perish? Listen to him. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Or why was I not hidden in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? Folks, for 37 chapters in the book of Job, through all of this, God is silent. The only time you will hear God speak is when God's confronting Satan himself. God is silent. Why? Time plays out on your life. Some of us are running out of time. Everybody here is running out of time. Somebody's time is going to be up sooner than someone else's time. But we all have an appointed time. But that appointed time ain't right now, people. You got a job to do. And what God has said, when you're asking me why don't you ask me how do you want me to do it, Father? I'll give you the answer. He'll give us the answer to why. The answer to why is always the same. The answer to why is you sinned. You sinned. When you acknowledge you're a sinner, you can't repent until you acknowledge you're a sinner. If you don't see yourself as lost or as a sinner, you're not going to repent of anything because you see yourself too pure, right? Now listen, as God's question turns on them, every one of us, God's question to us is, where? Why, God says, where? Listen to this. Job 38:4. Where were you? 37 chapters. God hasn't spoken to him. Then here he comes. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Where were you when God did the creation? Where were you when God set all in motion? Where were you when God wrote the rule books for life, your life? You knew nothing. God knows all. He knows you, and he knows he loves you. And you know he loves you too because he sent his son to die on a cross just for you. For whosoever will, let him come. Why did God do that? Because he so loves. But he puts us in our place. If you have the answers, Larry, fine. Where were you when I started everything? Job said, Lord, I cease speaking. I'm not worthy to even open my mouth. But he never charged God foolishly. He was charging himself foolishly. The situation I've got myself in has got me over here, and I'm feeling horrible in this situation. So how are you going to deal with it? I'm going to get to throwing myself such a pity party, I'm not going to be able to do anything else for the Lord. So therefore, I'm defeated. That's why God says don't act that way. When you realize something's wrong, you realize it was done wrong, you realize that you are in a bad shape, then let God, let him direct your life. If you know you were wrong in it, quit doing it. Turn around and go the right direction. Well, why, Lord? Why do the children die? Why do the good die? I don't understand. And God says, have you read my book? Have you read my book of answers for your life? Have you read my book of answers? That my book of answers will be able to direct you and help you in life? Have you done that? God continues to bless our life. And he blesses our life in so many different ways. But nothing greater than this. You listen to this. You want an answer to all of this? Here it is. You want an answer as to why the children die? You want an answer to the good people dying? Listen to the scripture. Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. God's revelation to us. The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands. Now listen. That the righteous are taken away to be spared from the evil to come, or from evil here. To be spared from the evil to come. I don't know the curve. I don't know what's around the curve. God does. And God says, no, it's not going to happen. Come on home. We talk about it and talk about it all the time as a Christian. One day we're going home. One day we're going to be with the Lord. And then it gets time for us to go. And we act like, oh, me. Lord, I wanted everybody else to die first. I know I'm coming, Lord. But let's make it later. The wise man thinks of death often. The fool thinks only of folly for the time. I'm really getting back into old English, aren't I? The fool thinks of having a good time. The wise person thinks of death often. You know why I think about it? It's to drive you nuts. Because I ain't dying. I told you all, you stuck with me. His body's got to leave. Because I cannot see my Savior face to face in this human body. I have to separate. I have to become spiritual. The spiritual me is eternal. This body has to go back to the dust. It's coming back. This body is. remade by the blood of Christ, resurrected by the power of love. That's why I got to leave it, so I can see the promise. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death, or as the body dies. You find rest. The rest comes through power of love, God's love. We need to be at peace with not only ourselves. You won't be at peace with yourself ever until you get at peace with God. And you can't be at peace with God without Jesus Christ. And you can't know Jesus until you say, "I believe." That's salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, not in your works, not in your actions, but in His works, His actions, His love. Salvation is of the Lord. That's important. Why? Why is that important, preach? Told you, those whys drive you crazy. Because you and I can't get to heaven outside of Jesus. Because despite what you think of yourself, you ain't that good. I know one who is perfect. He remains so. He is deserving. He is the Lord. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my truth. He is my life. He is my light. He is my resurrection. I know Jesus. That's why. Larry, how'd you get to heaven? Same way you did. You ain't going to heaven without Jesus. I got a friend in glory land that outshines the sun. Song, Brother Randy. I got a friend in glory land that outshines the sun. Talk about hallelujah. Folks, we can't even imagine how great eternal life with Jesus is. Our minds are human, but your spirit is spiritual connection with Christ. Then you will see through the light, through the pale, through the glass, brightly. You will be known, and you will know as you are known. Jesus knows me. Pretty soon now, I'm going to get to know Him throughout eternity. We're going to shout together, Brother Randy. I've read the book. We're going to sing together. We're going to be zooming across all God's creation together. Woo! We're going to be praising God together. And we're going to be enjoying life together, the way God intended for us to. That's why the righteous leave to go to their reward. That's why children are taken, because you don't know what was getting ready to happen to them in their life, and whether disease, whatever it may be, you don't know. God does. God did. And God said, "Stop." And He brings that child home. That's my God. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for life, for love, for truth, for salvation. Father, we ask now that as You touch us, You will give us the courage and a holy boldness, that as we ask the question why, we look to our own life and see what idol that we have thrown in the way of God. What have we done, Father? Have placed out there that replaces our relationship with You. Oh, Father, forgive us, for we have sinned greatly. Help us as a nation to get back to the foot of the cross of Your Son. Forgive our leaders, Father. Forgive those who want to do harm to others. Father, I pray that you do that forgiveness within our heart so that we will have the power to forgive others. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. During our time of invitation, it's the opportunity that you have to make a decision for Christ. You may have already accepted Jesus, Lord and Savior of your life. But are you doing what he called you to do? Are you open to doing what God has called you to do? Are you ready? You already got the power. You've already got the love. You've already have the direction. You already have the strength. And God said, I'll give you the holy boldness. Are you going to shake? You're going to be nervous. You're going to be afraid. But you know the difference? The Christian goes anyway. The Christian goes anyway. I might be walking in a jungle crying, but I did it silently. I may be doing that, but I go anyway. But you see? That's life. It is a jungle. But Jesus is right in the middle of it.